Hey everyone, Lisa Resnick. I am here with Nicole, co-owner of Ice Dog Sundog.
It's totally Ice Dog.
That's gonna be good. That's something, right?
Now we have to make a cider called Ice Dog.
I mean, we're gearing up for the winter now, aren't we?
Well, we can make an iced wine called Ice Dog.
I was thinking more like a cherry, going with the slush puppy dog, like Ice Dog, but like a cherry cider.
I love how even out of mistakes, something great can come out of it.
My life.
And we also have Don. Co-owner of YoFresh.
Hi, Don.
So Nicole is a seasoned Homes and Hops guest.
I am.
And this is Don's first time.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of my first time, do you remember when you told Andrew DePaul and I that you had just recently discovered what incognito was? Okay, so apparently Justin also, up until 2 days ago, didn't know what incognito was. My boyfriend.
So I just, like, in all honesty, you have this. So she's referring to the World Wide Web. Like, this whole, like, little incognito, like, you can start searching things and everything. But if we all know incognito now exists, wouldn't, like, FBI and CIA search your incognito searches as well?
Of course. That stuff's only for...
No, remember, you're allowed to swear. I also spoke to Nicole beforehand, and I was like, listen, you're on air, like, you have to, like, you can't swear as much and as everything. Much,
you can't Richard Pryor enough. Right?
But she was given the green light.
I was, but I'm not going to take full advantage of it. I will behave.
So we're sipping on some Birdfish because maybe that's why I screwed up your name, is because you didn't bring cider.
I did not. So. I totally failed. And like, we were just there. Like, we had to take kegs over to the tasting room and I forgot to even grab anything.
No, that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting up there, right? In age.
It is. Actually, like, for everyone tuning in at home, I just got my hair done yesterday because I looked like my mother and my hair was so gray. And so that's why I have like the, I just got dyed face on right now with my hairline. You like it?
It makes you feel better. I got actually prescribed bifocals this week.
Did you really?
Oh, wow.
Well done.
Right. What an ego shot that was, right? To be like, bifocals.
Now see, I'm still in denial. I'm in denial. I keep going like this with everything that I'm reading. And are you like normally like farsighted?
Yeah, but same it's thing. Way worse. Like, and again, yeah. I'm like, oh, let's go. Like, I really can't see so much anymore. Let's go get this check. Like, oh, my.
Homes and Hops are turning geriatric.
next week's exciting episode.
Commercial, right?
Yeah. We're going to tour homes that let you drink.
There you go.
That looks like Lifestyle of Rich and Famous. That'd be a kind of thing.
Yeah, like, welcome to my crib, and it's like all old people, and there's all kinds of stuff going on.
I'm not sure if they allow cameras. I mean, I've heard what happens in Florida at those 55 plus communities.
Ones where they don't wear clothes.
And it is like, it is pretty much like they're partying like they're like 18 years old again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There goes my lunch. Thank you. I was thinking about going to the fair and getting some corn dogs later. There goes that idea.
Oh, the fair.
Speaking of lunch and also corn dogs at the fair, which is like complete opposite of YoFresh.
It is.
So let's talk about YoFresh for a moment. Number one, how'd you come up with the name and the concept?
Okay, sure. It started as an idea. Again, my wife was looking for some local gluten-free meal prep.
Okay.
And at the time, I was working with our friend Ben Ratner at Lives in Salem. Again, good friend with Birdfish. Everybody knows Ben. I was working out there.
Shout out to Ben.
And my wife had an idea for, again, some meal prep. So we started with a Facebook post and an LLC to get started. And it started with DR Culinary.
Oh.
It was kind of like the first 8 months, maybe. And then as we went into the December coming in the new year, again, we just kind of got, we were thinking of an idea, what we're going to do for a name, And YoFresh just kind of like stumbled out. I think it was mine or my dad's or my wife's kind of just stumbled out. We were talking like YoFresh. I was like, oh, yeah, YoFresh, like Youngstown Fresh. I get it. It was kind of like with HelloFresh too. So it was kind of like both of them kind of hitting. And I was like, yeah, YoFresh. It just kind of stuck.
It's a good one.
Thanks.
It's a good one. Thanks. Okay, yeah, and it does stick. You remember it.
Yeah, right. Hopefully. We've just been meal prepping now and again, feeding kids locally with Alt Head Start and all kind of good stuff. And Second Harvest Food Bank. And we give back to them. And we just try it again. Eat good, feel good, do good, right? Like, that's whatever true. We can do it.
That's true. You know,
this past week, I had some meals I was able to drop off at Cheney High School. Just some extra stuff we had, like stuff like that. Like, whatever I have laying around, I just try to find somewhere to give it home.
Do you guys have culinary, like, schooling experience?
I don't. Some of my staff does. Again, I just kind of came up hard knocks, you know, job to job, pirate style, right? Like the old, kind of made it here, you know. Along the way, I had some good advice and some bad advice. I've seen what to do and what not to do, and kind of did my own thing. It was kind of like the school of hard knocks. Like I said, I'd go to a place, I'd plateau, I'd learn as much as I could. And again, the chef's only going to show you so much, right? Because then you're.
It's true. Out.
So once I stopped learning, I'd go find somewhere else to learn.
So you worked in different kitchens beforehand.
All over the place, yeah, all over. But okay, all over the place, like in the world, but a lot around here, yeah.
Now, how'd you two connect? Is it through Ben?
It is through Ben.
The infamous Ben.
Mm-hmm. So Sundog, we...
Not infamous. Infamous is not the word. The famous.
Well, I don't know.
It's teetering. So Sundog makes a wine called Snitch. And it's
maybe it is infamous.
And so Ben makes a coffee called Prohibition Coffee. And he used to do it with Greg Snyder from Birdfish.
Okay.
So it's bourbon barrel aged coffee beans.
That's right. Wasn't he going to open up a place on Main Street?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So
I know this Ben as well.
We get the coffee beans from Libs, from him to use in Snitch. And it's a seasonal thing. We bring it out around like the holiday time. And, we also get tea from him to make a cider called the Had Matter, and it's a tea cider. It's really good.
Is that also Libs, or is that
Libs?
Okay,
yeah. So that the tea is Libs, the beans are Prohibition. But he and I were talking about doing a pop up, and I wanted him to do one for St. Patrick's Day, and he was like, "Yeah, it sounds great." And then I was like, "Hey, are you still into this?" He's like, "No, I'm totally not." But here's my buddy Don's number.
They had a play that day.
Did they?
The Whiskey Pilot had a jam that day.
Oh, okay.
Is Ben also a musician?
He's in Whiskey Pilot.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So he connected me with Don. And so the first pop-up that Don and I did together was St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
And it was dope. Like, it was ridiculous. Yeah,
fun, yeah. Well, you guys sold out, like, instantaneously.
Yeah, the latter two, like, the last two sittings, because we had three sittings, the last two were just like slammed, and then people were coming in and buying
we
it too.
Food and
we're
kind of again overrun at the end of it. We're like, I don't know what more to do. Like,
yeah,
I know. I mean, it is like one of those things for anybody when you see either Yo Fresh or Sundog post that they're having these pop ups. Don't wait around and think about it. Like, you need to jump on it because
we had all the tables filled.
This past one was great.
Yeah, too. We did one on Thursday.
Yep.
And it was last Thursday, right?
I think so.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Recently. Yeah, I think it was
Thursday. It was great. It was so much fun. And we had
there
a cigar.
There were dogs there outside. They had some going on. There were animals around. And
it was National Dog Day.
I will.
It was a great time down.
I love that little area. And Homestead, Sundog, you guys are very, very pet friendly.
Yeah.
And now that you're over into your new space, you have even a larger outdoor area, which is awesome. Which what did you think about that? Because with St. Patrick's Day, they were in their old space.
Right. So
we were crammed. I brought way too much stuff. I'm an overpacker. but we were there for three seatings, so I want to make sure again, like, I was good and stuff. So I brought way too much stuff to begin with. But having a new space, it was really nice. We were actually outside doing most of the work, plating outside, then bringing inside to serve.
So it worked out pretty well.
Great, because there's the outdoor tables out there too. We threw some covers on those, and worked out really well.
It was really good. It was ridiculous. The food was insane.
So how often can we anticipate this partnership, collaboration?
I said, I like to kind of keep them, you know, fresh as well. I like to do them all the time, but again,
I gotta keep them fresh. You're fresh.
So we're thinking about doing maybe like more towards Christmas one type thing or something like that.
Yeah, we talked about Halloween possibly.
Halloween,
right?
Yeah. So, but the one that I know we're going to do.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Is, so the Ice Cube song, Today Was a Good Day. Someone scientifically broke it down and figured out that it had to have been January 22nd, even though like Ice Cube was like, I don't know if I knew it was. Like, I was just like,
around. Yeah, the Lakers beat the Supersonics. Yeah, yeah. No murders. Yeah. Right? The helicopter was flying around.
The ghetto bird wasn't out.
Yeah, so they knew what day it was.
Someone actually like figured it out. So we celebrate National Good Day Day every year at Sundog. So next year, we're going to do one.
I'm a terrible friend. I did not know this.
I can't believe you.
I'm a huge Ice Cube fan back in the day, my young gangster era, right?
So Don and I were talking about this, and he's like,
Britney Spears.
He's like, I've got it. He's like, I've got it. We will take food from rap songs, like Fat Burger, like do a smash burger.
Oh, there are and so much food that you see in rap videos.
Too. Yeah. We did one of the Birdfish as well as a hip hop one too. Just thinking off the top of my head, for that one we did and the two pork, which was a play for Tupac, but it was a two pork dish kind of put together.
Nice.
There was the Biggie Smalls, and that one I had a little piece of T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. So it was like a grape sauce and stuff like that.
Nice.
Holy cow. It's always just kind of fun stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's out there. You just got to put, you know what I mean? Yes. Think about
it's
it.
It's very creative.
So, we'll be doing
that
one.
It keeps me sane at work, really. Like I said, we do a lot of that stuff now with daycares and stuff and scooping Cheerios. And
so how did you get connected to the school systems?
Wow, this is a long story. I don't know how much time we have.
We have time. Don't worry about it.
Well, it goes back. I was married in a prior relationship with my ex-wife at a daycare. So into that, I cooked food for her daycare. So it came up once in my life.
Okay.
Part of my story is I went to a rehab facility locally for a year. While I was in that facility, part of the job details in the kitchen work was feeding these local daycares.
Okay.
So I got introduced to it then. And then when COVID hit last year, it was coming into the end of the school year, and somebody approached us if we were interested in maybe feeding a daycare for a trial run in this little program. I wanted nothing to do with it because I knew the documentation and like just the, the detailed work.
Not for me.
I didn't want to do it. And again, me and my wife now, Caroline, we were talking, and she's like, let's give it a whirl. So we were definitely got into a space that we were definitely in over our heads in the beginning. We didn't find out that we got the contract till I believe it was a Thursday or Friday. And I believe the next morning we had like, by Monday, we had to feed like 350 kids.
It's crazy.
Like breakfast, lunch, and snacks.
That's crazy.
At the time, I was down with the kidney stone. Right? I had an 8.5 millimeter kidney stone that I had like surgically and like all that good stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And the next, we found out that Monday, I said we had all this food to do. So it was kind of crazy. But it was one of those opportunities, again, that kind of came along. And once it clicked, it was like, oh, like this is kind of something I'm supposed to do because it's been in front of me three times.
Yeah.
Like, right. It's a doop, doop, doop. And again, like I say, like feed my sheep. It's kind of like what I was like kind of hearing, like, hey, like, so now again, we got the opportunity to do that. And a lot of the programs that are run, they're state funded and whatnot, but they have like state minimums.
Yes.
Of which you can feed the kid. Like, and like people go by the minimum. And I'm like,
they do.
That's kind of crappy, to be honest. Like, if you think about it, like,
with these poor kids, they deserve kids, more than the minimum. Right?
But some it's of the true. Portion sizes would be like an eighth of a cup.
Yes.
Okay. So if I took an eighth of a cup of diced pineapple and I put it in there, it's only like six little pieces.
Yes.
And for a toddler, they're going to spill at least four of them. They might get two in their mouth. You know, they might spit one out. They might get two. You know, if you use so much spaghetti sauce, you would have to give them a vegetable. And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, give the kid, make sure the kids are eating. Some of these kids would like get the.
I agree.
Yeah. So that was kind of our hearts first and foremost.
And they'll have
so
that even in the most affluent schools. Yeah, they'll still do just the minimum.
The minimum. Like, why would
it's upsetting.
Just the minimum.
This is why I do. My kids pack their lunch, but not everybody has that opportunity.
No. So I said we try to do the best we can and try to go a little bit above more than we can from the minimum to make sure. And that's actually enabled us to get this contract a little bit long term with Alta. We still have to apply, but we've actually partnered with them in another local nonprofit, Flying High, in a campus of care facility. It used to be the Youngstown Development Center.
Okay.
There's a bunch of nonprofits now. So the idea now is that I'll be able to feed all the nonprofits that are there throughout the day, the lunches and stuff, and the community living spaces and stuff. But all those spaces will also need some job training. So hopefully we'll be able to come to YoFresh, do some meal prepping, do some packing.
Oh, that's so cool.
Be some special needs, something like that.
That is awesome.
You know, they can come by, put stickers on some meals and that kind of job training and stuff. Yeah. So it's going to help us grow, but also help the community grow.
Yep.
And I kind of, the vision was all the nonprofits, everybody that I know in the nonprofit, like they're overworked, understaffed, under budgeted. They do the best they can with what they have.
Yes.
Now I know as a small business owner, when I'm in those conditions, I'll tend to maybe, for example, go buy a bag of frozen peppers and onions that are pre-sliced. Right from GFS, it's going to cost me more, but it's what I have to do in that moment.
Right.
And small nonprofits all operate the same way.
Yes.
So if you can have them all localized and working together, it'll make them more profitable and stabilized and be able to take this idea and duplicate it in other cities. And like my idea is fresh hubs. Hubs of like nonprofit little fresh hubs. Where they can come together.
Oh, that's cute. Fresh
hubs. Like, it's true.
It's such a good idea.
But it's true. Like working together, if you had all these different nonprofits that are under the same category and they pull together like the Brewers Guild or then you do have so much more of an opportunity to be able to bring in. Number one, you're going to have additional help. Mm-hmm. And you're number two, when you're pulling together, I mean, you know this in anything that you do, if you, the more you purchase in quantity, the more you can save money in doing so. Yeah. And you're doing the same thing that you've always wanted to do. And really it's always for, you would hope at least, always for nonprofits. It's not about the name, your name as the nonprofit or anything like that. It's about the cause. And that's the reason why you're doing
it.
That's
the impact, the change. Yeah. Right? And again, like I said, we're not a nonprofit as YoFresh, but we're looking into it. We might have to have some options as we grow to make that happen. But
now, YoFresh is a for-profit, isn't it?
Yeah, we definitely started.
But you can easily have like the whole.
We kind of built YoFresh with a for-profit mind, with a nonprofit attitude.
No, 100%.
Yeah. Right? No. Because really, again, a lot of people get the mentality of nonprofit means no money.
Right.
And that's not necessarily the truth, right?
Like, it is true.
Like, they have to operate. Yeah. They need money, right? Like, it takes money to operate. But again, one of the first things we started up was the Second Harvest Food Bank. And we kind of collaborated. We went to the Youngstown Business Incubator, and there was a class about some marketing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, I believe it was Tom Shoes. They did buy a pair, give a pair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how can we do something like that with food? And it was kind of like, how do we give food? Who needs food? Well, Second Harvest Food Bank, and who I was introduced through when I was in the rehab facility. We'd go weekly sometimes, get some stuff, bring it back, distribute it, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's another one of those connection ties. I'm like, hey, wait a minute, let's go to Second Harvest Food Bank. So for every 10 meals purchased, we take a dollar amount and donate that back. So far since we started, it's been over 35,000 meals.
That's insane, man.
It's ridiculous. And like, it's crazy to think about, right. Like, because it's really built into what we did to where it's really, it wasn't really a lot. And again, it's like,
that's awesome,
right? Like, that's an impact right here. Like, people need to eat. Like,
it's a huge impact. And
everybody had just that small little, and again, it's really at the end of the day, it's not a lot. You know what I mean? They take minimal dollars to make maximum food spread out to make the best they can over there.
I know. Right. You know?
So a couple of dollars really can go a long way.
And we do have the issue of the food disparity.
Sure. There's a lot of food deserts around here.
But it's not just about where there's a grocery store.
There's still poverty and all that stuff.
Exactly.
It's
the financial access
to
the food, not the location of where the store lies.
Right.
That's really the underlining problem.
Mm-hmm. But again, it was started with $100 bill to get an LLC and a Facebook post. Again, I remember banging up some of the meals out at Libs Small Kitchen, and we used the Say Memorial Building. We rented that space for a few months, and then with the help of the Kitchen Incubator.
I was about to say, did you ever go to the Kitchen Incubator?
We were in for about a year, and then again, a connection through a gentleman that went to a church. That we did at Libs, we did an elders dinner for this Greenford Church. We do a dinner like once every month. And somebody was selling some equipment that my wife knew. And long story short, I'm like, I end up knocking on this door. I'm like, no idea why I'm even here. Gonna ask this guy to show me your stuff to buy because I don't have any money. Ends up, he's like, hi, Don, I'm so and so from the church. And you did our dinners. And long story short, I ended up getting my space and bought the all equipment and talked to the landlord. I left out of there knowing that I had the space and the equipment was mine without signing a paper or giving anybody a dollar bill. I'm like free rent for 2 months. And I just finished now paying Eric for my equipment. It's been like 2 years.
That's great.
This whole way. And again, to be here now to be able to feed these kids and do what we're doing. It's ridiculous. Like, it's because of small companies and watching companies like Birdfish and Bennett Libs and being like, seeing how the small networks worked.
Yeah.
And that's really how YoFresh got anywhere, was just local connections. Steve Cross at Ice Energy, you know, was another huge, huge help for us.
I'm just saying, I love the fact that ICE has been like brought up a few different times throughout this entire time. Right, Ice Dog?
Yes, Ice Dog.
But it's just, for me, again, I'm overwhelmed at opportunities like this. I'm like, it's ridiculous. Right? Well, like, I love, listen to me on a podcast. Who wants to hear me talk?
I love the fact. Well, I mean,
she was really excited.
I was very excited. It blows my mind. But I love the fact that you said that you were in over your head.
Oh yeah.
You were in over your head. You found out you got it, and then sometimes people have a tendency to think that if something then bad happens, like your kidney stones would be a very good example of that maybe they're like, oh, maybe this is too much. And that this isn't the right direction I should be going in. But that's actually wrong. When something like that happens and you still triumphant over it, that shows you even more so that is what you're supposed to be doing.
You know what's awesome?
That you can handle that.
This is really, it's great that you brought that up. Just a few weeks ago at work, right? Me and my colleagues and not my coworkers. I say colleagues. They're not like, they're like my employees. They're my colleagues.
They're friends. Yeah, my peers.
They're like family to me. And we were talking, I told them we're getting ready to come into a new season. We're getting ready to move and all this stuff, and it's that time. And just like in a video game, right? As you get to the end of the video game, before you get to the next level, you have to fight the boss, whatever it is. It's always hard.
Yeah.
And like we're in that right now.
I never
made
it to an end of a video game.
Yeah. So as you progress, it gets harder, right? Like same thing. So we're in that right now. And again, there's a lot of stuff going on in all of our lives. And again, like it's just where we're at. Like you said, if you don't push through that hard part to get to the next level, then you just stay where you're at. Like,
yeah, you have to.
Point. You got to push through that. It's going to keep coming back. To get through to that next level, you're just going to stay stuck,
right?
You know?
That's right.
But that's how we've gotten here. A lot of that push through, kind of, like I said, I deal with that stuff. Like today was hard.
Did you have that same overwhelming feeling when you started Sundog?
Yeah,
because you have. Nicole has like 20 jobs.
Right.
That's a dirty lie.
Well, we all are really hats. Part of being a business.
No, I mean it gets like that a lot. Yeah. I mean it's really tough. There's some days where I'm just like, I'm done. Right. I don't want to do it.
I had one of those days yesterday, honestly.
Yeah.
Me and Caroline had kind of a little argument, and I was like, you know what? Done. Just had that day, like, you know what? I'm done.
Like, I'm done.
I'm not done, but like, for right now, right now, this moment, I am done. I'm not doing this anymore. Until
it's
tomorrow
like
morning.
Ross, get up. Ross, Rachel in our lives every day. We need a break. And then we walk out the door, but we don't really mean.
Yeah, exactly. No, and like, this, we're entering like our super busy time. Like, every Saturday during the summer is super busy because Firestone Farms graciously pays for these amazing bands to be there every Saturday.
Yep.
And we're slammed. Like, it's great.
Beatles Mania. Right?
Beatles Mania happened. Yeah. So we're finally past like the bands that draw like these huge crowds. But now we have all kinds of other stuff. We have the Cuyahoga Valley Scenic Railroad. They are doing on September 20th.
Cuyahoga?
Yeah. Cuyahoga.
I thought it was Cuyahoga.
Semantics.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, anyway,
I also say Vienna, or no, I say Vienna, Vienna. Vienna. I say Vienna, but it's Vienna.
Oh my god.
Whatever. Go on.
So the Cuyahoga. How'd you say it?
Cuyahoga.
The Cuyahoga.
You make it sound so country when you say it.
What? Anyways, that place. They are doing on September 24th a Sundog train. So you reserve a table on the train and you go for this train ride They serve food, and then all the drinks that they serve is just Sundog. So we get to be on the train and tell everybody about the wines.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, I've done it before.
Fall
like
fall time too. Like,
it's
like
September. Yeah,
time,
it's gonna be
fall.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's the end of September.
And through that park. Cuyahoga, Cuyahoga, whatever it's called. But it is absolutely,
it's
beautiful.
Stunning. No, it really is.
It's beautiful every season, just like Mill Creek Park. It's beautiful every season, but nothing beats fall.
Yeah. That's September 24th. And like I looked the other day to see like how many tickets there were, and like the cars are selling. Like, it's crazy.
We'll have to get on that when we leave.
I know.
It's really cool. And it's so much fun. And that might be a good like piece for you to tap into if you ever wanted to like expand. Like, it's basically a pop-up on a train.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Right?
It would be so much fun.
It'd be so much fun.
I've been on a yacht and I've cooked on a plane, but I haven't done on a train yet.
It's cool.
And then, I feel like that was a Dr. Seuss moment.
It totally was. And then we have the Maze Craze in Petersburg, or New Springfield. The Maze Craze, that starts next weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
And then it's every Thursday after that until the middle of October. Like, it's just it's a lot.
It is.
You know, I kind of can't wait for it to be over.
It will never be over.
I know. I know it won't, because then I'm going to find something else I want to do in November.
Right.
That's going to stress me out. And
so Nicole is constantly that person. You're an idea person.
Me too.
I mean, like, she's constantly thinking and she's constantly wanting to help.
That's more what's next.
I do.
Sure.
Yeah. Regrettably. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be really great if it wasn't 90 degrees in here.
Oh, it is a little warm. It could be. They could just be blaming body heat, and that's the reason why.
We're negative.
Yeah, that's why it's the typo.
Maybe it's because I'm pounding a birdfish beer. The lights
too.
No, it's all really exciting, and but there are some days where I'm just like, I'm tired. I'm sleepy.
For sure. I mean, yeah, that's definitely part of it. I'm trying to get to use of the thought of too. Like, it's not really so much right now as days off as maybe moments in time off.
Yeah.
Because the expectation of a day off, like, literally just usually end up infuriating me. Because I'm taking a day off, and then something comes up, and I'm like, I can't have one day.
right.
But really, I can't. Like, it's just life. Like, it's part of doing what we're doing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The phone rings, you know, issues at work, or employee gets sick, or their kid's not feeling well. Or
right.
Just part of it. It's really not days off. It's working now to be able to manage my time later, hopefully, because I didn't do such a good job in my 20s. Hopefully, by the time I'm a little older, I'll be able to, like, spend some time and, you know.
That's the goal, right?
Get it in then.
Like, that's what I just keep telling myself is, like, I'll be able to slow down at, like, this age. Right. I just have to, like, I'm setting it up.
But in reality, even if you're like, okay, we have a day off, is it really a day off?
No.
It never is.
I said, me and Caroline, never. We moved to Canfield, I think it's like 4 months ago, and we're still not all the way moved in. Like,
yeah.
Just because.
You just have to hide your boxes in one room.
It's kind of the magic.
just hide your boxes.
I've been in our new house for like 5 years, and I think we still have boxes.
How's your new puppy, by the way?
Oh my God, I love my new puppy.
What's his name? Meatcake?
So, Pancake.
Pancake.
Meatcake is a cool name for a puppy.
So,
Meatcake.
So, on the way to get the puppy, So the woman who breeds the golden retrievers, she picks out a theme, and everybody who gets one of her puppies needs to have them registered under the theme name. So she picked Yankee Candle Scents.
Oh, wow.
So, and which she's like, there's a million. I can just keep on doing this forever.
Oh, my
God. Oh, it's true. So my eldest son, I was like, oh, crap. We need to pick out a name for the certification. Doesn't necessarily have to be the name of the dog, but for the certificate. And the first one he said was Banana Pancake.
That's awesome.
And I was like, bam, that's it. And then
that's for a golden retriever, too, though.
Because of their color. Yeah. That's the color of a perfect pancake.
Yeah.
And then it was funny, on my way here, I was listening to Jack Johnson, and he has a song called Banana Pancakes. I was like, there you go. It's all circle moment.
That was it.
Oh my God.
And in life, you have to hold on to these moments.
Yeah.
Because then when we have our kidney stones, it's not as bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to die as fast.
And then you have Nicole over here with a cast on.
I don't know.
I woke up with a broken egg. I'm like,
I had a boot for 3 years. So having it back on is not great.
No.
But I mean, at least it's just my ankle this time and I didn't shatter my foot again.
This is true.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was broke. And then Justin bitched at me and told me to go to the doctor. I finally went. Here we are. Broken ankle.
Yep.
Didn't know.
But again, you're still here. Through adversity, you're still here.
I am.
So there you
just
go.
That's probably why I'm warm, because it makes my whole body sweaty.
Probably.
Because it's all thick.
Yeah.
It is very, Those are not.
It's like a weight on your leg, too. You're like working out. Your one calf is way bigger than your other one.
Listen to my knees.
To get two. Oh, are we doing that? Hold on. But,
ooh.
It's crinkly. It's like crinkle paper.
So I have to ask, like, when you guys collaborated and everything for the pop-up, how'd you
we did
come
not
up?
Make out.
No. did you first come up with the food and then you come up with the cider, or were you or wines, whichever?
So we actually were launching our two new ciders. We have Baby Got Back, BAC.
Okay.
That is our bourbon barrel aged cider. We aged it in a Four Roses barrel. And then we were releasing our Nice and Slow, S-L-O-E.
So how'd you make this cider?
I hate you. wait, what are we asking? Regular cider?
Yeah.
We just fermented it.
So how would you say you brewed it, or would you say?
Yes, I brewed it.
Or would you say?
It's a big conversation.
It's a
Malasandra.
Malasandra. Were you a Malasandra, or were you a brewer, or Malasistra?
I can't remember what we called
it. I know it's Ciderista, the person that pours the cider.
Right. But
that one's easy.
We were coming up with a different name. It was like it. So I brewed. I guess we brewed, not me specifically. And then we put it in the barrel. And then the other one was our ginger beer. We aged in a Koval gin barrel. So he was given that, and he came up with like this just incredible.
What did you make? Yeah,
this four-course dish, and then we did two other ciders that we normally have, and we had cut and toast.
We did.
So you got a cigar with it too.
Oh wow!
See, we were gonna go. We were talking about doing another hip hop pop up.
Yeah,
and then it switched. She said she had the smoked oak and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So then it was again that Dr. Seuss moment. My brain, yeah. ADHD was like smoked oaks and tokes. I was like, let's call Dave. Let's just play toast.
That's
out.
Awesome.
Yeah,
and it came out and it was kind of a nice. That was kind of the play on it.
Yeah.
Smoked oaks and tokes.
Yeah,
you know, and food by Yo Fresh, and then it was just kind of. You know,
next is going to be children's books.
Right?
Maybe. Maybe. While you're eating at school, we're going to read you a little story.
Chef Don, what you can do with one apple.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Now you got to write a book, man.
Right. Well,
next time we're on
plans
this.
Of working on a book. Actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. A memoir or a manifesto?
Like, what's the difference?
Well, a manifesto means you're going to kill people.
That's a good question. What is the difference?
A manifesto is like what you write before, like, you go on like a killing spree.
No, I'm definitely not doing that. It's not a manifesto.
So please warn us if that's what you're writing.
Just a little bit of story again, how I lost my mom and like all the crap in my life and dyslexia and all the...
You have dyslexia?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit.
Premature.
You're
I was
premature?
Like 2 pounds and 3 ounces.
Oh my God.
I was supposed to live. Like my parents, the doctors basically told my parents, like, you might as well plan. Like getting rid of
little baby coffins.
Like, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. That's horrible.
Like, I could fit in my dad's hand. Like,
why are you? Are you writing it now?
I just got a little couple ideas of starting to get
okay.
it all together.
Well, don't let go of that.
No.
That's a story that needs to be
told. Like all, you know, it's been that my whole life. It seems looking back, it's been a lot of that challenging ever since coming out the old, you know, coming out my mom. It's been hard
when you wore as a sleeping bag.
Right. Yeah.
That's insane.
So it was kind of stacked against me. It seems like a lot of time. Even like you said, dyslexia and stuff. Like I've just now gotten like listening to audiobooks a lot this year.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Like, until then, like I didn't really read at all because it was hard.
No, that's fair. Because it is intense.
Like ADHD, like even school, like I said, I didn't get diagnosed until as an adult. And I can look back and also see again like some of that stuff is the addiction. You know, it was more of like an obsession, not so much an addiction. And I think there's a lot of people, even, you know, now that haven't got to that point of realization yet that it's not so much they're an addict, but they're like obsessive,
yeah,
right, and they haven't found the right thing to switch to be obsessed about.
Yeah,
it's true.
And they're stuck in that addictive. And again, I'm not really an addict. I was just obsessive. The last time I was down there, I think we were joking on the recovery show, like, what was the, you know, what was your first like thing you used to like, you know, get high or whatever? I was like, I don't know, what, pixie sticks? I don't know, sniffing markers,
right?
Like, you know, whatever. What, eating glue? Right. I don't remember. You know what I mean? But again, it was always that. There's definitely a cool story again, and it's all part of what got me to this point to be able to again. Even stuff like this, I just like, I'm a little blown away by, again, there's somebody that's going to watch this and like listen to me talk. This is ridiculous.
But
like 5 years ago, I was in my dad's basement getting out of rehab. You know what I mean? Like,
but see what you can
do? That's the thing. You can get, it takes the work though. You know what I mean? You gotta listen to some books. You gotta get the right people around you. You know what I mean? You gotta get,
you also have to make your choice.
A lot of choices. You gotta make them every day.
Having the right people around
you. Again, like I haven't had a perfect run of sobriety, you know what I mean? It's not perfect. I'm able to drink occasionally at times. You said, you know, for one, I'm not a...
No, not
really ever.
Right? I'm always like are you ready?
Sip, right? I'll try, again, flavor pairings and stuff. I'll drink a little taste. But it's just not my, you know what I mean? It's just not for me right now. But there's people that can do that that can't, though. But it's knowing. It's knowing that I can do that, and it's not going to... I'm not going to fly off the handle. But if I went and started hanging out in the bars and old friends and that, then sure, I'm going to end up where I was.
Yeah.
But it's changing a lot, you know, it's being willing to change.
Yeah, it's true. The people around you are so important.
And you do. You have to make the choice and you have to stick with it. Not like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about like my Red Bull addiction. Like I did.
You see they're coming locally?
I did. And sorry. I mean, I think it's absolutely awesome. And I'm very happy for Terrell. I mean, that does kick ass for our area. Yeah. It really does. But for Red Bull, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be a customer anymore because it's not that great for you. So, and I did. I was like, that's it. If I want to make sure that I'm cutting down, if I'm going to eat my sugar as I do, I want it in the apple and the fruits and everything, because I'm not one to believe in, I'm not a big diet person, but I am a health, like I do believe in healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
But I still will have the corn dog at the fair and stuff like that. But Red Bull was one of those things. I was like, you know, I need to not say I'm not going to drink Red Bull. It needs to actually be say no more Red Bull. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's been like 4 days.
I drank soda again, pop in the kitchen all the time, right? Yeah, pop all the time. And lately, it's been something again, kidney stones.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been trying to cut it out, but again, it's hard.
It is very hard.
I'm trying to drink one or two Pepsi or Cokes a day, whatever it may be, but it's hard.
That stuff, it is.
Like, caffeine's harder than to give up than smoking.
Yes, yeah. I agree. So thank you guys so much for joining. I hope you guys come back. And
I'd love to.
That'd be awesome. And maybe Nicole will bring some cider. I don't know.
I always need
Oh my goodness.
I need someone to
be awesome. Actually, you need to connect with Joe of Youngstown Studio because he's planning the whole chef cooking thing.
I need to talk to you about something separately also because we're trying to buy the theater in Columbiana, the Columbiana Cultural Collective.
Yeah.
And I want to do a pop-up gala to impress some people to try to buy it.
Sure.
Oh, there you go.
Cool, man.
Yeah. I love that. And I hope that does sell
to
the right people.
Too.
It's getting hard out there. It's getting hard. Trying to find people that want to donate to theater and arts anymore is just so hard.
Which, by the way, for anyone listening out there, if you want to talk about the high, like a mass amount of money economically coming into your area, it is the theater and the arts. It's the creative economy. It is amazing how much money they bring to an area. Yeah. So if you really want invest, bear that in mind because they do bring in a lot of, they bring in a lot of tourism. They bring in just a lot of dollars spent by people who even live there.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome once we can do it, but we just have a time limit. So but yeah, anyways, it'll be pretty cool. I'll have to let you know when I can figure it out.
All right.
Pull some strings.
Thank you, Birdfish, for the beer.
Yes. Cheers.
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 Hey guys.
Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at PlattInsurance.com.